Dialogue is key for a successful community. Get involved. This is Metro Talk with Jerry Phillips.
It's time for our first Sunday roundtable, as we normally do on first Sunday. We always have our political experts or political experts come in and talk about politics. No, they talk about the issues of the day, things we read about, things we talk about at our own jobs or around the dinner table or wherever we like to share our conversation. We kind of like to detail it a little bit. Eric Mickelson, who is with the Green Party, is with us. Thank you very much for being with us. Along with Jim Pomeroy, Republican, Dana Jones, Democrat, and Nicholas Sawalk, Libertarian. And they are here this morning as we get into various issues. Welcome, everybody, to our October Roundtable. You should see Dana, folks. I wish just television. I mean, she looks like just like she sounds on the air, you know?
Good morning.
But she comes
I'm
in with
sure how to take that. T-shirt? I'm a Maryland girl.
She comes in with an Orioles T-shirt, number 90. And what's number 99?
Well, it's actually a Batgirl shirt, but that's okay.
A what?
Batgirl.
Oh, I see. Batgirl on the back. Okay.
Right. You know, like the person who picks up the bats after...
Nicholas, you don't look too
all which is relevant.
Happy about
sure.
this. As if this is totally unnecessary.
You must have been a Yankees game and watched the game last night.
I never got a chance to be a Batgirl.
Oh, that's such a discrimination right off the bat. See what I mean?
I think so.
Discriminating world. Folks, let's take a look at guns, because in all of the candidates, or I should say the election campaigns, whether it's the 8th District, whether which we just had Chris Van Hollen, or whether it's the, what you might call, the gubernatorial in Maryland, even in the other states around the nation, guns always come up. But in Montgomery County, in Virginia, Northern Virginia, as well as the District of Columbia, it's on the minds of a lot of people. And my question here to the panelists, in light of this week's tragic activities, will we see newer laws or gun restrictions? What about assault weapons? Should we tickle around the restrictions on assault weapons, or should we be outright and say, listen, let's get rid of assault weapons? I'll start with Jim Pomeroy.
You know, there's not a gun law in the world that would have stopped this guy from having a gun. Criminals get guns regardless. So it's also against the law to take a rifle and start picking people off throughout Maryland and Virginia. So it's already against the law for him to be doing that.
And the district.
And the district. I don't think that would he to himself, oh, wait, this gun is banned, therefore I better stop what I'm doing. Gun laws don't work.
Okay. Somebody else?
Well, you know, I don't necessarily, I wouldn't go to the extent that James has, but I do agree with him that there, you know, this kind of gun is legal all across the country. And again, the problem here is that someone who is very disturbed is going around shooting people, not necessarily the presence of these rifles being legal. Again, most of the people who use these weapons use them in a responsible manner and use them in a way that is the way that they're intended. There may be people who try to draft legislation in response to something like this, but I'm not sure that would have done any good.
You know, Jerry, it's funny. When I heard about these tragedies, I was thinking, you know, what could we have done to prevent them? And I really couldn't come up with anything. Some tragedies are not preventable, and sometimes people just go crazy and do bad things, and there isn't a law that could have stopped this. And if there is, I challenge any of our listeners to tell me what it is.
Gubernatorial candidate Robert Earl, Republican in Maryland, in addressing the issue on gun laws, says that there are enough gun laws on the books already. We need to enforce some.
Right, absolutely.
I have to agree with you that you can have 1,000 laws on the books. It's not going to stop somebody from doing something wrong.
But we're also talking about Maryland, too. Maryland has the most comprehensive gun legislation in the nation.
Uh-huh.
In 2000, they passed a comprehensive... it's a gun lock law. Actually, it was passed in part by Van Hollen. Time Magazine in August hailed him as a hero to handgun control advocates. And I think that it's very questions like this, especially, you know, in radio or TV or media. I think they've done a great job This leaves us somewhat inarticulate, wondering, you know, what makes a person do this and why does this happen and how random this all is. People are going about their daily lives, and indeed, I don't think there's many laws that would have prevented this.
Yeah,
right, including all the new ones Maryland has
But
passed.
Will this become an issue, though, from the political side, not the killings or anything like that, or this guy, but the issue and the concern about guns on the streets? Is this going to heighten the interest on gun laws? And
let me point out, though, that there have been a lot of instances where a person with a legal gun, and in Virginia that's more common, but in Virginia where... somebody will come in and do something illegally, and they'll be stopped by an armed citizen. And, you know that's the type of thing that happens a lot. And guns are used for self-defense. Guns are used for hunting. They're used for a lot of things. Only very rarely are they used illegally. And a lot of other things are used illegally, too, and we don't ban those.
And from what I understand in the news, the rifle or the assault weapon that this person is using is not necessarily something that would be used in hunting.
It's
a high-powered... rifle.
223.
Actually, it's a 223, which is probably one of the most common deer rifles out there. So unless we're going to go get my grandfather's, my uncle's, and you know, like the rest of my families, and take their deer rifles too, I don't see exactly where deer rifle control is going to help us.
Well, you know, yesterday I was down in the country, and I heard some folks
got a lot of deer rifles down there.
Oh, man.
God bless America.
It sounded like half the world was exploding or blowing up, you know, and this certainly I reflected back to what I heard in the news also, Dana, about the fact that people heard this loud shot. But these are deer rifles, like you say, Nicholas. But still, we have assault rifles and assault weaponry on the street.
There's no sign that this was, in fact, an assault weapon. You can't determine what kind of rifle.
Well, not necessarily this, but I'm talking about in general the types of assault weapons we find on the streets.
Forensic evidence can show
that it's a 223.
Right.
A standard deer rifle.
Right. You said that forensic evidence couldn't tell what kind of gun it was, where the bullet came from.
It could tell what caliber it was. It can't tell you whether it was a 223 assault rifle or a 223
deer rifle.
But still,
folks, okay, that's great. I still want to get back to whether this is going to be politicized as to assault weapons on the streets.
It looks like the two leading candidates for Governor Ehrlich and Townsend seem to be making political hay of it back and forth, whether or not gun control's good or gun control's bad, and it's something that the Libertarian candidate, Spiro Lancaster, has
Gun control was an issue way before this week's unfortunate happenings. I mean, this was an issue that's very important in Maryland. It's very important to a lot of Maryland constituents. So, I mean, in my workplace, I watch news 16 hours a day ad nauseum, excuse me. But and you know what? They have done a wonderful job. No one really has come in and tried to politicize this issue. It's about the people that we've lost. And they've spent a lot of time remembering those people rather than anything else. And on the manhunt for whoever this person is.
This is our first Sunday roundtable debate. We're going to get into the issues of the roundtable debate as we speak with Eric Nicholson, Green Party from the Republican Amelie, along with Democrat Dana Jones and Libertarian Nicholas Sawalk. I'm Jerry Phillips here on Metro Talk. Telephone number 301-230-0980, pound 980 in the Verizon Wireless System. 301-230-0980, pound 980 on the Verizon Wireless System. If we happen to be talking about another topic and you want to talk about the previous topic, that's fine. Lines open. Let's talk with Jerry in Fairfax.
Good morning, folks.
Good morning.
I guess I am in sympathy with my and Maryland neighbors. I live in Virginia. There's over 200,000 law-abiding citizens in Virginia that have concealed carry permits. And unfortunately, the members, the residents of Montgomery County and the District of Columbia do not have that option. I think the citizens need to be looking towards candidates that would be more sympathetic to their safety. If gun laws prohibiting concealed carry worked, the District of Columbia should have the lowest homicide and crime rate in the nation, and instead it has one of the highest. Montgomery County and PG County are soon to follow, I believe.
Thanks for your call, but I'm a little bit confused as a concealed weapon on any of these unfortunate victims would have helped them. For instance, the woman in Virginia who now they have linked to this set of crimes, she was shot in the back, and all of the people were shot from a distance as a sniper rifle.
I wasn't referring to the victims that are deceased or the victim that got shot. I'm talking about bystanders and witnesses
in general.
And potential witnesses in general that could have
stop the person.
Either stopped the person or followed the person because they knew they were armed and could take some action versus a sitting duck that would run the other way.
Right. Anybody else like to answer the gentleman's?
I think he's absolutely right. Another,
thank you, everyone
from Virginia, please call in and second this man's comments.
Okay, thank you very much, Jerry. Let's go to Michael in Silver Spring.
Yes. Hello.
Hello, go right ahead, Michael.
Yes, I live within a mile of all the places where this occurred, and it's very distressing to my family because these are places that I frequent. Ballistics will allow you to identify the weapon that caused the problem. One has a law in the books that requires that ballistics is done on new guns that are purchased in the area. If this was done nationally, we would be able to quickly eliminate the continued effort of this individual if we knew who was doing it.
Can I respond to that very quickly?
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
Ballistics will tell you what kind of gun as far as caliber it was. Second, the law in Maryland on the books is for handguns only, and it's a spent cartridge casing, not a spent bullet. And third, despite, even if the Maryland law was taken nationally and extended to rifles, there are so many that have already been produced that it really wouldn't do much of anything.
Okay. Anybody else like to add to that? Let's go to Dill in Bowie, Maryland. Good morning, Dill.
How you doing?
Hi.
First thing first, whoever said the 223 is being used for deer hunting is incorrect, because in the state of Virginia, at least, you have to have a 24 caliber. A 223 gun in Virginia and around, and I have firearms, basically is used for hunting groundhogs, not deer. The second thing that some people should be putting their focus on is that, you know, the police department, the AR-15, I believe it is, that is sold all over the place, used the 223. So, you know, instead of saying marksman, how about someone starting to think that maybe someone in law enforcement that is disrupted because of past deployment just lost it?
Right.
That's what I would say, but when I heard someone say that a 223 caliber bullet is used for deer hunting, they're totally incorrect. It, like I said, it has to be a 24 and larger. That means like a 243 at 25-06. Larger bullets are used for deer hunting, not a 223.
Dill, thank you very much for your help. Appreciate it. Okay. Let's turn, and if calls are calling in, we'll still take calls on that particular topic, but because of our time, let's go to another topic on our agenda, and that is Iraq. Yesterday, the president had his annual, or his regular, I should say, radio address, in that he pretty much talked about Saddam Hussein and Iraq, and this is a part of his package, his selling package as to why the nation should go to war with Iraq. The Democrats on the Hill, Dana, are pretty much upset about this whole thing. Mainly the mainline and the lower-ranking Democrats are very upset with the leaders, Representative Gephardt, and certainly Senator Daschle. They feel that they are giving in quickly to the White House.
No, actually,
and the rest of the Democrats are saying, well, no, I don't want to give in. They had a press conference on this last week.
Right, and Representative Gephardt appeared on the White House lawn with President Bush, as well as bipartisan leadership, minus some of the Democratic Party. But I think what we want to look at here is make sure that we follow our Constitution. We debate this. And what a lot of the Congress people are calling for, I've heard them say this, both on television and in their offices, is they just want all of the information. Why are we going about this? Why do we feel that we need to do this immediately? Give us the information. Let's debate this the way that our country is supposed to. And I think that's what some in the party are saying. Yes, I think we all agree that he being Saddam Hussein, is a horribly, horribly bad leader. He's a dangerous man. And I agree with the president that he is evil. I mean, he's starving and killing and gassing many of his own people. But we've known this for years. We've known this for years, and now we are the governor. Or go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say. I mean, I think I agree with her that we need to have some debate. I think the president agrees that we need to have some debate, and we're having it now. I mean, I think Congress has been debating it in the public and in private.
But they're going to vote this week.
We need to debate it where it counts, and that's on the floor of both the Senate and the House.
And they will. And they will. And I think that the vote is going to be just as you said. Saddam Hussein is evil, and something has to be done about him, and we're living in a different world.
Yeah, but there are a lot of evil people in the world.
There are not that many, and he's one of them.
Jerry, I think the question I would be asking if I were a Democrat is, why now? The question is, this has been going on for 10 years. There really isn't any new evidence, despite the fact that both the British and the U.S. government are trying to manufacture new evidence and are rehashing old information. And, you know, I don't know. To me, it seems like this is, again, a partisan maneuver. You know, I agree with Dana and James that, you know, we need to find a way to, deal with Saddam Hussein at some point, preferably through the United Nations. But the issue is, why now?
But you see, you're using the terminology that Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia used.
I agree with you very much.
I watched his debate, and I mean, he was very dramatic. But you got it right there.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
He was breathtaking. I mean, he's a brilliant man.
Boxer was good, you know.
But I mean, I think one of the interesting things here is that, within the Democratic Party, you've got the Democratic Leadership Council issuing press releases, calling the three congresspeople who went to Iraq, calling them the fatuitous Baghdad Three.
Right.
I mean, these people are assaulting sort of the people who are questioning our rush to war here from within their own. And it's, obviously the debate's healthy, but
it was somewhat of a Hanoi Jane moment when they go to the capital of an enemy country
and are broadcasting
back from that country that we shouldn't be involved in it. There used to be something in this country where politicians did not attack our country from abroad.
God forbid, Jim, that our legislators would go to another country and find out why we're going to war before we go.
Or open dialogue. Let's have some open dialogue.
I don't mind them going and looking. I mind them broadcasting from the capital of an enemy country against our own country. Well, come back to the United States, make your opinions known. But politicians didn't go abroad to attack us.
I think with regard to this whole thing, that John Quincy Adams said it best when he said that America is not a country that goes abroad in search of monsters to destroy. We as a country are not in the business of going and preemptively striking unilaterally other sovereign nations. It's something Americans just don't do.
But we're hearing all of this.
We did the right thing.
Yeah, but we're hearing all of this dialogue now, and I understand what you're saying, Jim. You know, going abroad, being in another country, in the country that we're supposed to be attacking, or that is not necessarily in line with our thinking, and to criticize our own American homeland. But the point here is that it's the same thing as what's coming out of the White House. It's like, what Bush is saying is totally 100% plus correct as to why, answer to David Barrett, I mean to Robert Barrett, why we should go into Iraq, why we should attack, why we should take this nation into war. And people just of late are becoming to surface to say, well, wait a minute, Mr. Bush, I don't know why we should. I mean, this is what's happening. That's the reason I asked the question to Dana first about the Democrats, because some Democratic mainline Congress people felt over the past week that, hey, the Democratic Party are giving in to Bush's whims and woes without considering what some people. There are people against this in the United States.
Sure.
Senator Daschle wasn't at the White House either, though, and he's the leader of the Democratic senators.
Senator Daschle was pretty strong up front in saying, no, Mr. Bush, I don't agree with you. But then all of a sudden he's kind of turning 360 degrees.
Well, no. He said that he would have a debate before he was absolutely no. And it was actually Representative Gephardt who appeared at the White House. So I think that a debate is most important. I think that information sharing is most important. And I don't think that that's something that the White House does readily.
The war in Iraq. Our telephone number, 301-230-0980, pound 980 in the Verizon Wireless System. With us this morning, Nicholas Sawalk, Libertarian, Dana Jones, Democrat, Republican Jim Homily, and also from the Green Party, Eric Mickelson. Let's go ahead and talk to some folks. Pat's on the line in Alexandria. Good morning, Pat. my dear friend Nicholas' favorite friend.
Well, I don't know what's happening, but again, Nicholas is right. I mean, this is getting to be a habit.
Oh, it's a little segment on Metro Talk we like to call Nicholas is Right.
Oh, yeah.
This is his fan club.
You're talking about the World Book of Records.
No, not his fan club at all. But I throw this out to you. I think it's very fine that everybody is sitting here and recognizing that Saddam Hussein is evil. There is one problem. When we had the war and the Gulf, all the reason that we stopped going to Baghdad was that the Arab allies did not want to take out a fellow Arab leader. They had no guts then. They will have no guts now. In fact, they will probably try to sabotage anything that we try to do. And you know what, guys? They're all around Iraq. So the United States goes in, and frankly, on a side note, I don't want my son winning Papa's war.
Very good.
To the other gentleman, the Republican, who said he wishes people in Virginia had the guns they could have stopped the killers, you know what? In the Old West, that was called a lynch party, and innocent people got killed, too.
All right, all in favor of lynching the guy who's killed a half a dozen people throughout Maryland, D.C., and Virginia in the last 2 days, raise your hand.
I find your line actually rather amusing because you're looking to defend yourself. Rather, I have no problem with anybody getting the person who did this. I have no problem with the highest and most severe application of the law. But I do have a problem with your suggestion that if people had guns, they could find him. Clue, snipers hide. They are not out in plain sight.
Here's another clue. Armed citizens return fire.
Yeah, and
not when they're shot in the back.
And innocent people get hurt when armed citizens return fire in a panic. Jerry, as usual, terrific show. Nicholas, I'm beginning to like you a lot. And
thank you, Pat.
And now on Metro Talk in our romantic corner.
You can get your I Love Nicholas t-shirts at www.
Pat, you're not a libertarian. Oh, she's gone. Okay.
Sure she is.
I've upset her. Telephone number 301-230-0980, pound 980 on the Verizon Wireless System. This is our Sunday morning roundtable debate, as we normally do, with our political experts from various parties, and we like to talk about the issues of the day. And we certainly welcome you, because one of the nice things about this kind of a roundtable, it lends for the opportunity, it opens the platform for opportunities for us all to share our ideas, whether we agree with Jim or not. Anyway, Joe in Montgomery County. Good morning, Joe. Hello, Joe. Okay, Lauren in Maryland. Good morning.
Good morning. As far as Iraq is concerned, I'm concerned about how America is going to look as far as the rest of the world is concerned. We don't want to look like a rogue nation without going into war to take over government without at least some type of UN revolution. Especially when you're dealing with Muslim nations in the state of the world right now, as far as the U.S. relationship with Muslims are concerned, we should really look at anything that we do as far as Iraq is concerned. We shouldn't do anything without some sort of UN resolution. And as far as the lady speaking about the guy in Virginia wanting all of us to retaliate against, people with guns to retaliate against this person who's out there shooting people, I agree with what she said totally. You don't want, I don't mind officials, police officers, FBI agents, and those sort of people being able to return fire against someone who's doing something like this, but erratic, civilians doing that, it only opens up a can of worms as far as people, innocent people getting hurt. And we just need to, and gun laws allow us, if we were to have a suspect, to have something on record as far as this person purchasing a gun, being able to locate who it is and being able to deal with them. Via the law, as opposed to
Lauren, let's get an answer to some Jim Pomeroy.
Well, we've gotten a little bit away from what I actually said, which was that there are a lot of instances, and this one is not the perfect instance because you are dealing with a sniper rifle or a rifle from a long distance. But there have been a lot of situations where people go into restaurants or events or things with a gun to cause trouble, and they are stopped by somebody with a legal gun. And that's the type of thing where a concealed weapons permit is a good idea because those people are checked out, they're fingerprinted, background checks, the whole thing. Those aren't the types of folks that commit crime. This guy with a gun, which he could have gotten no matter what sort of gun control law was on the books. And in Maryland, keep in mind, we keep talking about how many laws there are, and it didn't stop this guy at all. If somewhere down the line, maybe somebody with a gun will stop this guy.
Okay, thank you very much, Lauren. I appreciate your input. Our telephone number 301-230-0980, pound 980, on the Verizon Wireless System. I just got a note from Dana. She's very concerned about the elections. We have one more show before the election on November the 5th. But since we want to kick around this, are you through with Iraq now and the president? Do you want to talk about that more?
Let's kick around the Kennedys.
Kick around the Kennedys. Okay. I mean, kicking around
what
the Kennedys.
Are we going to kick around? You know what I love?
Well, Mark Schreiber, we can kick him around.
He's already been kicked.
No.
Why don't the Democratic candidates answer telephone calls?
Actually, I'd like to talk to you about that later. I need to make sure.
Let's talk about it right now.
Figure out who we're calling.
Call Jerry. What's the phone number?
No, let's figure out who you're calling on the campaign.
301-230-0980. Call now. I feel like the ladies remember the TV show on ABC, The View? I watch those ladies all the time. And they tried to get, Letterman on their show for a long, long time. That's the way I feel about Kathleen Kennedy Townsend.
She hasn't called you back, Jerry?
Did Spear Lancaster call you back? No, never mind. Anyway. So did Robert Eric.
Let's make sure we have the right person we're going to call. I'll take care of this.
What about this whole thing of winning the House, folks, for the Democrats, for the Republicans, etc.? It looks like, at first, the Democrats had a pretty good hold. We just talked with Chris Van Hollen this morning. Here on Metro Talk, and we talk with Connie Morello next week. That's a swing, that's a very important race, the 8th District. But what about this winning? And now we're hearing the polls show that the Democrats may lose the House again.
No, I mean, let's face it. We have unbelievable candidates throughout the country. We obviously heard from Holland. Time Magazine hailed him as hero to environmentalists, to gun control advocates. He's an excellent candidate, and from all the polls that I've seen, I mean, he's doing, and read about in the Washington Post, Washington Times, so forth, he's doing very well. Let's also talk about another important race in Maryland. That's Maryland 2. Dutch Ruppersberger, who has a proven record of improving Baltimore County, is running up there. He's doing great things for, not only, because you know what, he's been doing great things for years for Baltimore County.
But what about
County.
New Jersey?
Let's talk
about Dutch Ruppersberger, actually.
Okay, just a second, but you know what, after as soon as we talk about that, we have great candidates throughout the country. It's not just in this metropolitan area. It's Florida 24. We have a Harry Jacobs. He's running against the House Speaker down there. He's doing great things. In Georgia 12, we have Champ Walker. He's an amazing candidate as well.
The last great thing I remember Dutch Ruppersberger doing was set SB 509, where he tried to seize the property of Maryland citizens and give it to his developer friends. But that's the last thing I remember.
That's not what the bill did.
The bill actually didn't do anything. It got defeated through public support.
No, the bill was passed, and then it went to referendum, actually. Right. But I should bring in a vote history for you. Furthermore, what that did was, it was actually very depressed areas. Who were looking for different things to do to revitalize their area, and the state would have paid them for their money.
The state would have seized their land.
It wasn't seizing their land.
It was. The people who were there didn't want it. That's precisely how they got the 40,000 signatures to get it to referendum. I mean, I was part of the lobbying effort. In fact, I was lobbying the House Committee, I believe it was the Ways and Means Committee, when it was getting voted on, and one of the delegates from Baltimore City told me, if this affected his jurisdiction, he wouldn't have voted on it, but he voted on it for a party line because he had party line obligations. It was a strange bedfellow. It was a situation where it was sort of strange bedfellows because the Republican delegation there was opposing the largely Democratic delegation.
There's only 19 counties in the country who has fundraising because of the good economic times that they have. And Baltimore County is one of those, and Dutch Ruppersberger got that. Let's also talk about the great environmental things that he has also done. He has restored streams. He has preserved lands in his area. Because when he came into office, developers were taking land like crazy. He came into office. He said, let's slow down on this developing. We have too much going on. And we'll have an area, much like Montgomery County in some places, where all we talk about is the need for an ICC or a purple line. Let's slow down. Let's think about how people actually live and what they need.
Let's talk to some people. Let's talk to some people. Tony and Carroll County.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First, I had one minor comment driving down the road, and then I've been scribbling furiously.
Good to hear. I love that.
While watching
I
the
love
road.
That.
Well, no, I stopped at the gym, and I'm in a parking
lot.
Oh,
good. So. Good.
Okay. First, the minor comment. I believe it was the host. Seemed to refer to President Bush, never as President Bush, but always as Mr. or Bush, where you would refer to Senator Daschle as Senator Daschle.
Oh, come on.
Is that a professional thing? No.
It's like writing a letter. If I were to write the president, I would address him correctly, either Mr. Bush or President Bush.
It's just a minor comment, but it caught me.
Well, I like to say Bush. I feel close to him.
Okay, me too. As far as Iraq goes, I'm a Republican, although a liberal Republican, so I am in the Bush-Cheney camp, but I do also agree that...
And you are a liberal Republican?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, you like to be one of a kind, that's great.
Yeah. I do believe, at least as far as the public goes, and I'm ex-military and I've seen a few things behind the scenes, that they might not have made a good enough case, at least to the public, as far as going in, why now versus not before. But also the comment that one of the gentlemen made is he seemed so sure that they were manufacturing or rehashing evidence. I think the comment about manufacturing evidence is...
That would be our Green Party representative.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tony. Appreciate it. Anybody want to respond to Tony?
No, my main point was essentially that they're basically bringing up evidence that has been, you know, well known for a long period of time and trying to pretend like or trying to act as though it's new information. And essentially, you know, it isn't. Again, there's nothing new.
Does it sound like the bully in the schoolyard trying to start a fight?
Well,
you mean
I miss
it. Saddam Hussein,
I know what you mean.
Saddam Hussein
is the bully in the schoolyard,
gassing
his own people, invading his fellow countries. Invading countries, gassing his own people, producing weapons of mass destruction, ignoring the UN.
Jim, I could say the same thing about Vice President Cheney.
Vice President Cheney has not produced any weapons of mass destruction,
he's
as far as I know.
Yeah, he's a bully.
We have to check out the mansion over there.
Jerry, I think your assessment is actually right on. I think that the issue is that the Republicans in power are essentially trying to push through whatever they want
and
to.
I'm not a Democrat.
And I'm not either. And they're daring people to call them on it. And the Democrats so far have largely backed down again.
Let's talk to Kenny in Maryland. Kenny, get us out of this mess. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to talk on this issue of Iraq as well. Quite frankly, I'm against the action and the resolution. And your guest seemed, the one that seems to be so bent on backing President Bush, and I happen to be an independent. I don't believe in parties. Voting for the big person.
Because of time, give me your point.
Yes, and please let me finish my point.
Sure.
The point is that Robert Byrd, I looked at him making his statement, and I'd like to ask the person that's there that's backing this resolution and the president and also the Republicans in the Congress why they have not answered the question about what the Constitution says, and it does say. No president should have the right to declare war, and also most of the American people is against it because I have not seen any evidence that they've come forth to say. When Colin Powell was sitting there in front of the committee, all he kept saying is, well, we really don't have any concrete evidence, but it's what they might be doing or what we think he might be doing is dangerous.
Okay, Kenny.
And you're going to send my family... over there to get killed on what you think he might be doing.
Okay, Kenny, hold your point. Let me get an answer to that. Jim, go right ahead.
You know, the Constitution does give the Congress the power to declare war. President Bush is going to go to Congress. Congress is going to have a debate. They're going to give him the authority to take care of Saddam Hussein.
Okay, let's talk to Richard in Gaithersburg. All this money just for Saddam. Okay, let's talk to Richard. Hello, Richard.
Yes, good morning. Several quick points, and I'll just run through them.
Okay.
The type of assault we've had recently by these criminals, many studies point out that these normally occur in areas only where there's extreme gun control, where they feel safe. and so therefore that's why we may have been targeted. And we have KKT and Van Hollen both focusing on guns, restricting guns from law-abiding citizens, ex-military, ex-police, etc., rather than focusing on criminals, which has caused Maryland now to be number one in robbery. I think this is the eighth year, number three in murder, number three in violent crime.
Mm-hmm.
And this talk about assault, I'm sure that all these folks who chose these as assault weapons are firearms experts, but there's not one on that list that I would choose to go into combat, and I have been in combat in Vietnam.
Okay.
And on Iraq, remember, we now know that the 40 nukes that were bought by Saddam Hussein and exist somewhere in the terrorist community, technical assistance was provided by Saddam Hussein for them, but I don't think we should go in. I think we should wait until they nuke us, because otherwise I think it'll divide this country unless we wait until after the next major event.
Thank you very much, my friend. I wish I could listen to you more because you have some very good points. Do we have Richard in Gaithersburg? Is that where we're supposed to go? That was Richard. I'm sorry. Carol on the cell. Good morning, Carol. Very
good
quickly.
Good morning.
Very quickly.
Very quickly here. Just on the part about the guns, I overheard part of the conversation where you're saying that we should go ahead and give the citizens the guns because they can get fingerprinted and do all this background check. I'm in the travel industry, and right now we have captains that are flying, and all of our first officers, they've got these fingerprints, and they've got these background checks, and they're still having a debate as to whether or not they're going to
have
these
guns.
Guys.
Right. Thank you very much for your comments.
Yeah.
Very good.
They should be
Chris
allowed
in
to.
Manassas. Good morning, Chris. You got about 30 seconds.
I just want to make comment about the gun control. The NRA's stance seems to be that if the gun exists, we should be able to have it. But there's no real reason for assault rifles, bullets that can go through bulletproof vests, or dumb bullets. Those are just used against police officers and law enforcement.
Okay.
And I believe in the ability to have arms, but there's a point at which you don't need that firearm.
Okay, thank you very much, Chris. I hate to rush people on like that, but because of time, I mean, that's the thing about radio and television.
We need to get an extra hour for the show.
Yeah.
Moving right along. I'm not going to go there.
Jerry,
anyway, huh?
Jerry, I just wanted to say one thing about the gun control. I think that if you looked at the pre-primary ads, I don't think all of Shriver's ads, but he did have one that focused solely on gun control, and I thought that was actually to his hindrance, whatever. I think that it's for some people it is an issue, but I think there's a wider array of issues in that the gun control, again, it can only do so much.
Everything comes down to shooting. That's what's been on my mind all week. As the press secretary said, one bullet could take him out and we could save billions of dollars. And there was one bullet that killed, six people in our area? Guns and shooting and shooting. I don't know. Maybe we got to change our thinking, our society. I want to thank you guys. In last words
thank
to say,
Jerry.
The elections are next month, and we will be back to talk about the elections in the 1st of November. Am I correct, Johnson, ladies?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
We will be back.
Eric,
Democrats in control.
Eric Mickelson, Green Party.
Thanks.
Jim Parmalee, Republican. Dana Jones, Democrat. And Nicholas Sawalk, Libertarian. What a bunch. Man, this is my... I want to thank those who helped to put it together. Don't forget, next week, Connie Morello will be with us, along with Financial Fitness and Doctor's Call. John Miller is our technical producer. Courtney Layden is our administrator. Quentin Jackson is our public affairs assistant. Simulcast operator is Paula Casey. And written and produced by yours truly, Jerry Phillips. Metro Talk is a big 100 and Sports Talk 980 public affairs presentation from Clear Channel Radio in Washington, D.C. Till next time, get out and enjoy the great outdoors. Much peace, much love. WEIK.